Let us pray. Our most kind, gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we ask you to forgive us for we fall short out, Lord. Lord, we ask you to be with us in this meeting, and anything we do, be in accordance with your will. We say this humbly in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I need a approval of the regular meeting, January the 4th.
Motion.
Got a motion, Mr. Osteen.
Second,
Mr. Stevenson, all in favor.
Aye.
Vouchers.
Motion.
Second.
Got a motion, Mr. Osteen. Second, Mr. Hatch, all in favor.
Aye.
Any constitutional officer here like to speak? Nope. Need a motion to go into public hearing.
Motion.
Motion, Mr. Osteen.
Second,
Mr. Stevenson, all in favor.
Aye.
Aye. So the we ask that the land development code be tabled until the next meeting. Mr. Gene is still in Mexico, and he hasn't returned back to appropriate orders and language for that or in question.
Motion to table.
Second.
We've got a motion, Mr. Hatch, table. Second, Mr. Osteen, all in favor.
Aye.
A petition by Dane Ham and Bill Sheehan requesting a special exception to the land as provided in section 4.3.5, special exception to the land development regulations to permit one recreational vehicle in the ESA zone district in accordance with a petition dated 12/13/2023. Located on the property described as follows, Dix County Parcel Number 01-10-13-4512-0000-0900-303 Northeast 791 Street, Old Town, Florida, 32680, District 2, Mr. Daniel Wood.
Any opposition?
There was no opposition.
Anyone here opposing? Anyone on the phone? Daniel has not heard anything, and I know I haven't. Have y'all?
No, sir.
Motion to approve.
We've got a motion, Mr. Hatch, to approve. Second, Mr. Stevenson, all in favor. Need a motion to go back to the board. We've got a motion, Mr. Hatch. Second, Mr. Stevenson, all in favor.
And a resolution 2024-04.
Motion.
Got a motion, Mr. Hatch.
Second.
Second, Mr. Stevenson, all in favor. Okay. And that ordinance, we...
That's a, on the land development.
That's tabled. Okay. All right. Mr. Brad, you up.
Thanks, everyone. Just here to give a little bit of an update on what we're working on. Back last year when we passed the renewal, one of the things that we all talked about was wellness and when we're going to get it scheduled. We have it scheduled. We'll go back to the Trail Riders Club. We are going to be doing either the, sorry, I have my phone pulled up. The dates are March 11th and 12th, which is a Monday and Tuesday. Have the nurses out, draw the blood. We're going to start advertising as quick as we can. Everybody will get their accounts created. We're going to do the lunch. We're going to do all that stuff, same as we did a couple years ago. We would like to increase participation. You know, one of the things that you guys talked about last year during the board meeting is that we need to get behind it ourselves as well. Talk to everybody. Get out there. If we get 85-90% participation, we would really, really do good. Okay?
Yeah.
So just want to make sure that
it's all good.
It's not artificial sweetener, is it? All good. So, yeah, we had a meeting a little while ago about when we're going to do it, how can we do it differently this year, and we did feel that we actually did it good last time, and we don't need to change anything. We just need to increase the communication to the employees. Okay? Other than that, everything is working smooth. If anybody has anything to bring up to me, want to talk about anything, I was asked to be here tonight to talk about wellness and any other insurance issues that anybody has.
Yes, we have one insurance issue. It's a previous, I believe it's a life insurance.
Correct.
And
cancer policy.
What was
I think it was the cancer policy. Remember, it come up at the last board meeting, and it may be life insurance.
Payroll deductible.
Yeah.
Payroll deductions.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you have to sell it to carry on the previous? I mean.
Say it again.
Jamie.
Yeah, we had a lot of people that was getting some payroll deducted.
Right.
Somehow or another it fell through the cracks. I guess that was supposed to stop, but it continued on, and then it was stopped. And there were ones that was doing that wasn't notified, and they about lost coverage and,
right.
and policies and stuff.
Okay, so
I think it's Liberty National. Is that
Liberty National?
Yes.
Right. We'll take you back to 2022, summer of 22. We were asked to put a plan together to consolidate billing, consolidate coverage, consolidate a lot of different things. There were some service issues. So we did. We went out and we quoted it. This is what we're going to do. And these were the rules of what we quoted. And that's what we presented to the county as far as being the only group insurance carrier on payroll deduction.
Well, the reason I wasn't on the board then,
right.
the reason I went to it was the problem with the services or...
Yeah.
I mean, there was a lot of different reasons. I mean, it wasn't just one reason. You know, the clerk's office has to, and they have to reconcile the bills, cut checks, and we discussed going with a single vendor, and the board agreed.
Well, what is it, Liberty National?
Yes.
Y'all don't carry that?
We do not.
Not payroll deductions. They can do bankrupt.
Yes.
Which everybody that I'm aware of has done that.
Because we're forced to, because...
Y'all didn't notify us. That was Liberty National. Why would that be when y'all are the one taking out a payroll? You're their customer. But y'all are the one doing it. They didn't give us group policy through their company and let it group, which means if you're not employed for 60 counties and you paid it for 30 years and you retire, plus, if y'all be payroll deductions, that saves us a little bit of taxes. That saves y'all a little bit from having to pay taxes on our retirement, too. So, and there is a lot more than seven people that was affected by what was stated last time. There's 10 with the boards and 22 with the service clerk that was affected by this decision.
Sheriff's Department,
We don't do anything with the sheriff's department.
But we don't do anything with the insurance. They have the ability to do whatever they want
to do. But they were called by this office.
Not my office.
Well, that's what they said.
They have the ability to do whatever they want to do on any insurance.
Because
and they were told
that.
They
were voted by the board, but the board went back and said they did not want Liberty National at that time, just Aflac. And
no, we did away with Aflac at the same time
yes.
as well.
But they continue paying it for another year or two?
No, not last year.
No, I'm talking about Liberty National.
For at least maybe a year on some that I was not aware of because of lack of communication from Liberty National.
Which is part of the problem.
Is that why they went away from
yes.
the representative weren't representing us?
That or Aflac. Both of them were very difficult.
Exactly.
Extremely.
And we
extremely.
And we had multiple employees coming and saying they couldn't get no representation
yes,
on that.
Multiple.
And
you're the only one.
And this.
No, I
ain't either.
Yes.
I don't take no benefits from the county. I just pay the county, so I don't know. What do you have comparable to what he's talking about? Did you keep?
Well,
a lot.
Well, that's as far as if it's a life insurance policy, he needs to keep that. That's what he needs to keep because he's probably had it for a long time, possibly a whole, I don't know what it is. But if it's a life insurance policy on payroll deduction, it's not going to change the policy or anything to put it on a bank draft. That's not a pre-tax benefit, so it doesn't change the county. It doesn't change him. It actually benefits the county because you don't have to administer it. But I don't know if there was a pre-tax policy. I'm not aware of that. Okay. If there's a cancer policy or whatever. Yeah, it would affect him slightly over, I mean, I'd have to, it would be
affect them too because they have to pay more on taxes and retirement because they base it off of our taxable income.
Well, Mr. Jimmy.
Yes, sir.
And I hope I don't hurt your feelings.
Huh?
Now I'm talking. This come up about, and you the only one, and I was told that you got it straightened out. I'm not
correct. They told you what you wanted to hear.
Okay, how are they, is it not correct?
Because I'm still having to deal with that. They said that I didn't have to pay anything. I discontinued that policy. The only thing they wavered was the cancel policy. All that back from September till now, I've had to pay all that except the cancel policy.
You would have had to pay it if it would have been payroll.
And it would have been a lot easier for payroll to continue doing what they're doing.
But it's the same level. It's still the same, coming out of the same pocket.
Do you got your policy? You didn't lose it.
Yes, I'm working on it now. But the reason nobody else wanted to come in here, because they say the board's going to do what they want to, and it doesn't matter what we the employees say or ask. So that's the reason nobody wants to come in.
Well, I...
Folks, I've heard of it.
I don't understand that, because we the board actually work for y'all because y'all are the taxpayers and you are the citizens that vote us up here. So actually, we're working for you. And we should listen to you.
But in the past, the board has pretty much done what they want to do is what they say.
But see, that's what I'm saying is I ain't heard it from nobody else. And I've got a good relationship with all of y'all.
I'm just telling you what everybody else
talks about. Okay. You ain't lost your insurance. Not yet. Well, what do you mean, not yet?
Because I'm still having to catch it up.
How much do you owe before you get it caught up?
I'm not sure. I have to look into it. Because I've had to pay
But if it was coming out of your check automatically,
you didn't notice the increase in your check?
My check's never the same because I get overtime and stuff like that. So I don't. If it's not the same every 2 weeks.
You get a check stub that shows what's coming out of your check every time you get paid.
That's correct.
Hey.
I don't pay attention to what's up because I have all this insurance and stuff like that coming out anyway. I'm just assuming it was paid just like everybody else.
All right. Well, you ain't lost your insurance yet. I hope and pray that you don't. If it gets down to it, you come see me and I'll see if I can help you. Yeah, but I won't. But this is you the only one that I've heard.
And it's not just me. I'm here for everybody else that didn't want to come because they didn't want to put up with it.
Well,
if we're not told, we don't know.
Exactly.
I can't help that.
I mean,
I'm sorry that I'm
knowing. Okay, they ain't nothing we can do. Or change at this time. So we need to move along. It's done until we sign up next year. That's a done deal. We sign up on insurance once a year.
Contract.
And then this year, we come in here always. We've always had to sign something. This year, you come in, no, there's not that sign, you walk out.
Right.
Every year, we've had to sign something.
It's all electronic now.
All of it. So, if you want a copy of it, I can print it out. There's a timeline and everything.
Has it already been signed for this fiscal year?
Yeah. For 23-24, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Just to clarify that, with seeing us, you wouldn't sign anything showing anything to do with Liberty National Athletic.
Yeah, no, that was my question. Y'all have really nothing to do with Liberty. So actually, you can't answer no questions anyway on this.
I can only answer what we presented to the board back in 2022 that you voted to do.
Now, explain to me, if you can, you might not be the right person, payroll deductible versus the employee pay.
Mm-hmm.
It is the employee's insurance. I completely understand that. The difference in taxes is $2 or $3 per person.
Correct.
The taxable and non-taxable.
Depending upon the price of the insurance,
yeah.
Correct.
Can we do payroll deductible? Because I've heard we could not.
As far as could you start doing them with other carriers again?
Yes.
We would have to get an amendment to your contract with the carrier that you have now to say, yes, we're going to allow other carriers. So they'll give
but
you
then that's going to mess around and mess up our own policy. And then the wellness program, I remember a couple of years ago when we done the wellness program, the following year we got a pretty good break on that because of the wellness.
Exactly.
Right?
to save the county a
right
good bit of money.
And make sure we're clear that what we're talking about has nothing to do with the wellness and the Blue Cross and all that stuff. But I'll give you an exact scenario. Let's say we're going to offer United Healthcare and Blue Cross here and give people a choice of what they're going to do. Blue Cross would say, absolutely not. We're not going to be one of two carriers here. We're only one group insurance carrier. Avmil would say the same thing. Every carrier would say the same thing.
So realistically, the insurance that we have is not going to say anything about us doing something with a life insurance policy because it's not competing with them.
One of the rules of the group insurance that we have here with the life insurance and the accident plans and things like that is sole vendor because
right.
they have to have minimum
compensation. That was my question. Who is that through?
Standard.
And is that what correct what he made the statement say if the employee leaves the county, don't work here no more, that they cannot carry that insurance with
they
them?
They can, as long as they're paying for it.
They absolutely can.
As long as they're paying for it.
Their policy.
Different than what he has.
Right.
And he said that the only whole life I could get, I had to go through his company. So when I met with Jimmy, he's right. He's got a couple policies that he, and I'd love to keep those policies, set them up on your own, because there's a lot of things that have been offered. We've got different companies that's got 20 different people payroll deductions. Well, they get the same problem. It creates headaches for people calling in and complaining. They can't get a hold of them. Well, they don't even know who to call. So it makes it easier. There was a lot of complaints coming to y'all that we had 6-8 people that because the Jimmy couldn't get a hold of, well, maybe not Jimmy, but couldn't get a hold of whoever at Aflac, couldn't get a hold of whoever. Well, it's hard for y'all to help them, right? So you wanted one person where you could hold people accountable. And that's where you were having problems on that end. But now to find a perfect vendor that will offer all these policies that have been offered for 20 years, Jimmy had those policies a long time.
Yep.
And we told them there might be some that we will tell them, and Jimmy was one of them, you need to keep that policy you've had. You need to set it up on your bank account and keep it. So yeah, there's a few of those in that scenario that needed to keep those products. He's one of them. He needs to keep those policies. I recommend one of them keep them. But ours are a little different, and they didn't line up with what he had, and his, in my opinion, were better products for him. So the problem is we just need to move it to the bank account, unless you're going to let 6, 8, 10 different people send bills, reconcile. You know, it creates a lot of headaches on that end of it, too. So there's ups and downs to all of it, but there was problems on the front end, and that's why we got to this point to start with. You know, you had a lot of complaints to begin with. But, you know, I don't know there's a perfect scenario for any of it. And Jimmy's in a situation where, yes, you know, it's not ideal for him to have to pay once a month when he goes to a payroll deduction.
Is your biggest deal is you're having to pay it all as a lump sum once a month instead of a little bit coming out each week?
It's easier, like it's been going on 12 years. Automatic, just like
if you set it up through the bank, it can be automatic also, but you
didn't want it all pulled at one time.
I don't understand what the difference of them doing it and then them sending it to a separate bank account. It's still they haven't.
Well, it's actually not our HR having to do it if you're setting it up with your bank account. You see what I'm saying, Jimmy?
But the bank still has to send it over to my bank instead of sending it over to the insurance company.
Right. They're transferring all your money to your bank. And now whoever you're paying is the bank's handling that part, is what she's saying.
But if I set up more than one bank account for just insurance, that means they have to send it up more than one account.
Right, and that's possible.
So what's the difference of sending it to two bank accounts than it is for you to send it to the insurance company? It just makes it easier.
It's a one-time form that you sign that's done automatically where the monthly upkeep and payment process of additional vendors comes into play with finance. And I know from finance that there were issues there as well. I mean, we had four people that were on bank draft plus set up a payroll deducted. Liberty National was getting paid for both of them and then refunding the employee a check every single month. And nobody questioned anything. I called it.
And the employee sure ain't going to say nothing about getting extra money.
Right.
Yeah, we have multiple employees with same policies with two carriers. Well, carrier's not paid. With us, there's only, you know, we can say, okay, this is what you got, you already know what you got. But if they buy something from Aflac, they bought something from their mutual. Well, it might be the same stuff. They're getting, we saw a lot of that. With, you know, anyhow, but, you know, there's, like I say, not a perfect scenario for any of it.
What you're saying is your problem is that you want it taken out of your check.
And I'm not the only one that needs a lot more, but that's correct, yes, sir.
Okay. I don't know if I can fix it. I don't know if these other four can fix it. We're going to look into it, and that's on record right now.
Well, like I told you when I talked to you on the phone, there's a lot more of them. They need to be here.
I don't know that.
Names, looking at faces, I mean, that makes a difference. I mean, me just standing up there saying I got 100 people behind me don't mean crap unless that 100 people is there. And that's the other thing that we, I mean,
that's what
I hate to say it that way, but I mean that.
Like I said, they don't want to come up here and deal with issues because
they think that y'all want to do what you want. It's hard. As a board, we're supposed to do what the majority, the majority rule, what the majority wants to be done. And, right. Well, we can only, the squeaking wheel gets the grease usually, but I mean, majority rules on that. So, I mean, if the majority of employees wants that, we'll most certainly try to make that happen no matter what. But if we only got one or two employees out of the whole bunch, then we got a different animal to deal with.
All right. You got anything else?
No, just back to what was. Give you a timeline, about 2 weeks, we're going to start sending out information to employees of what we need to do, of what they're going to be doing. They're going to have their online accounts to sign up their times. And, of course, through HR, we can actually book those for employees as well if they want to come in and say, I just want to pick a time, or send an email to HR to pick a time. Just want to make
and
sure.
If there's anything that you can figure out that you can help this man's situation, we certainly appreciate y'all looking into that also.
Fixing which situation?
Fixing his situation with the insurance.
Okay.
Well,
we can talk to him. Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
Anything else for me? Yes, ma'am.
On this wellness program, those that have the accident coverage, does that qualify for them to turn in for that $200?
Yes. Okay. Yes. When we set the products up 2022, we made sure that one of the aspects of the wellness aspect of the policy. So if they have the accident plan, it's a $200 wellness reimbursement. They have the, what's the other one, the critical illness, it's a $50. So we'll have the form there. If somebody comes in and has those policies and they haven't filed for their wellness for the year yet, we'll be able to help them file for that wellness while they're there. So employees that have the accident plan can get $200 for coming to the wellness meeting.
Okay.
Plus the whatever else the county's going to be doing, and lunch and all that.
So they'll get $200 in their hand?
No.
Not going to be handed out.
But I still, they still getting $200 for showing up.
Yes.
They will receive $200.
If they have that policy.
Yeah, they got
that. Do you got that policy? There's your $200 more right there.
I have no problem with their insurance.
I have not. Every
time I go, we got.
We
I have
no problem.
We're good to go. It's just
the
life
insurance. Okay. We appreciate you.
Always. We'll start working on everything. We'll see you in a couple months.
Okay.
For spring break.
All right.
Thank you, Brad.
Thank you, Joe. Mr. Bailey.
He's not here.
For Bailey and Associates.
He's Montana. Yeah, he should have landed by now.
Yeah, they're supposed to be there. Hopefully he hasn't broke his leg. Hopefully he won't break his leg. He's too old to be out there doing that mess. I'm Phil Bishop, substituting for Greg Bailey tonight. Got a few things on the report I was given. The EOC Fire Station, we have submitted our water management permit. We've gotten an RAI back from them. We've answered that, and we have an on-site visit scheduled for January the 30th for them to come out and take a look at the site and verify So we should be in pretty good shape with that. Building plans, we're on track to have those completed in the next couple, 3 weeks so that we can advertise the entire package within the next couple of days or so. At least to get the board's permission to advertise at that time. So we're in decent shape with that. Would have liked to have had it done sooner than this, but we are where we are at this point. The main thing that I wanted to cover tonight, we did receive bids last Tuesday, or excuse me, this Tuesday, for the Old Town Fire Station. We had three bids. The low bid was from Slap Construction out of Ocala. Some of you may remember they're the contractor that did our security modification out here, did a good job with that. They've also had some past history with the county doing the T-hangers at the airport. We reviewed their bid. They had all the requisite documents that they needed to turn in to us, their bid bond, references, and other documents that were part of the contract. So our recommendation tonight is that we award a contract to SLAC in the amount of $2,189,040 for the fire station. This is within budget, and we're anticipating that they'll do a good job based on their previous history with the county.
Darren.
Yes, sir.
Are you good for that?
Yes, sir, we are.
Motion to approve.
We got a motion, Mr. Hatch, to approve. A second, Mr. Osteen. All in favor?
Aye.
I will go ahead and tell the board that we anticipate shortly after executing this contract to come back to the board with a change order. This is anticipated and done intentionally this way. And that change order will be for furnishings for the fire department. The kitchen stove, refrigerators.
How much has it changed?
We don't know that yet. That's what I'm saying. We did this intentionally.
I think we talked about this, me and you did.
Another day or two.
Yeah.
Okay.
We have approximately $900,000 left in the budget. We don't anticipate spending all of that money, but we did it this way intentionally so that we knew how much we would have left over to provide the furnishings and all. So it was an anticipated and purposefully done that way. But I wanted to let y'all know because I know the general consensus about how people feel about change orders. They look at them in a negative light, but this is a positive situation here. So based on the board's action tonight, we will send the notice to award to Paul and his staff for them to forward to the contractor, and then we will go ahead and prepare the contract and send that to the county staff for review of the attorney and all prior to going to the contractor for them to execute. So I think we're in good shape with that. We were pleased with the results. I think Darren and his staff was pleased with the bids and all. So we look forward to a good project there. The next item to give a report on is the library roof. We are on target to have that completed next week. I believe that we had indicated we'd have it by the end of the month, and so I anticipate having that by next week. CDBG application for 95th and 97th streets. They're scheduling a field visit with 30% set of plans.
Good deal.
So that's on track. I don't know much about these, so I'm just pretty much reading what the update is.
We've been working on that for 2 years. It's almost there.
Yeah. 82nd Avenue, House Harris Road. We've submitted the plans to DOT on the 7th of December. Waiting for their review and approval so that we can advertise. We still haven't received a response on that. But we'll be following that.
What do you say you said that December 7th?
December 7th. The Sheriff's Office Evidence Building, the Sheriff and the staff, they're finishing their review on the first draft of the floor plan, so that's still in the works. And I think other than that, that's about all the information I have to give you. I'll be glad to try to answer any questions you may have, or at least take back questions and get answers for you.
I got one. What else does?
Go ahead.
Last board meeting, that about the roads paving, and I sent this to Greg, and of course, I forgot that he said he's going skiing, trying to ski. And do you know anything about with sea level rise with road paving whatsoever?
No, I do not. But what is yours?
My question is I want if there's money there to pave roads, Swanee,
okay,
or any other coastline that was affected by the storm,
okay,
is paving roads
specifically related to Hurricane Isaiah?
Right.
Okay. I don't know the answer to that. I'll follow up with Greg and his staff, and we'll get an answer. Probably have something for you. Okay.
All right. That's all I got.
Okay. All right.
Thank you. Thank you. Mr. Locklear.
I didn't have anything to talk about until Mr. Hatch just asked that question. I actually was on a call with DOT and DEP earlier this week on the vulnerability assessment project. And I was told by both entities that there is money. Even before we finish the vulnerability assessment, we can identify key things that the county sees as necessary and make an argument for those and get some planning money and construction money for those specific projects. So I'll sit down
with me,
whenever.
Yeah. I'm ready whenever you are.
So, next week I'll give you guys a call and tell them to sit down. You can tell me which ones you want to try to target, and we'll put in the application.
Okay.
Good deal.
Just learn that. DOT has been very sort of forward-thinking on trying to get this money out, I guess. It seems like the governor might be pushing some buttons. I've never seen two agencies work together so well to try to give money away, so.
Well, whoever's doing it, we appreciate it.
Absolutely. So
we'll get together for next week.
Yes. That's all I have.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Miss Cindy, she's not here, is she, no? Mr. Freeman. Johnson. Mr. Wright.
So I know I spoke previously to the board and explained how we had basically a FEMA auditor assigned to us, and every Wednesday they're coming in and they have a list of properties that they have done their research on, and then we have to give an answer back this Friday on those properties. We've had two meetings now so far, got good positive reviews on both, and we're going to be here until December. And so they have the ability to go in the field, talk to people as well. We haven't seen that yet, but every Wednesday, 30, they'll be at the office.
1:30 is happy hour?
This last Wednesday, they didn't leave until about 5:30.
A long one.
So that every week we have a report that has to turn in for that. And it's starting out really good and really positive review.
My phone.
Yeah, put
that on the closed door. Got some phone communication. I can't hear you.
Okay. So, but other than that, that's all I got. You got any questions for me?
Thank you, Mr. Leon. Mr. Brown.
Clarification on what Mr. Bishop said on the change orders. We wanted to make sure that we got the building done. Some of the things that need to go in that station, such as air compressors and stuff, we already have one or two, and we could travel back and forth to use them, but with extra funding, we'll be able to put those things in that station, but we did not want to go specify all of that and come up $250,000 short of one of the building first. So that was specifically planned like that. No landscaping was included. We're going to try to look at all of those things. We're working on the list that they've required of us right now. Trying to get all of the furniture specifications and different things. We're going to try to use as many local vendors as we can. I've already spoken with one for all the kitchen appliances. And then when we do the other station, we will use another local vendor try to equal that out. But as he said, that was done intentionally, so please don't take that as any negative. It will be beneficial to the department and the community as well, but we wanted to make sure that we got the structure in place first, because with price changes, nobody knows what's what.
Exactly.
So that was done that way, and likely the next session will be as well. We want to make sure that that comes in, and it's going to be more difficult since we're tying into the EOC. We do have a little more money budgeted there, but we want to make sure that that happens before we start replacing furniture that we could still continue to use, even though it's beat up or something to that nature. So that kind of gives you a little more explanation on why we've done that, and we still want to make sure that we get this into a justifiable situation where we can get reimbursed for it. So we were trying to look at all those aspects. So that's just a little more clarification. If any of you still want an explanation, I'll be happy to talk to you privately at any time. Chief Garner and I and this team met today with FEMA, our FEMA rep. As we know right now, we have completed the last of our site inspections that are scheduled for the storm damage. There are still two or three that may possibly come up, but they've not been scheduled yet. But at this point, things are moving along. We still don't know what we're going to get, what we're going to have reimbursed, or the amounts, but the actual go look at and verify damage has been done. We've spent days and days. Chief Garner was out all day yesterday. So, you know, those things have happened. We've traveled all over the county. We've been to each park 15 times because they make a visit for a picnic table, they make another visit for a grill, they make another visit for the beach. And I don't know why they can't do it all in one, except it's the federal government. But we've traveled all over this county. They have been diligent in doing that. I give you last month, I give you our budget report for our collections. I have, at that time, I told you December was close, but we didn't have it. I have the one from December that you have there. The easy answer to this situation is that right now Ms. Lisa is $96,595 over budget on collections, so we're doing good there. Don't hold your breath and don't count your chickens before they hatch, because there's some changes in VA funding, some different things that we're hoping doesn't affect us, but there are still possibilities for some changes. But right now, we're nearly $100,000 over in collections based on a monthly average, so we are doing good. That monthly average varies based on calls and types of calls and things. So just wanted to let you know where we are there. We're trying to do the best we can with that, because it has a big impact on our budget and what my department can do throughout this county. Y'all gave me approval to order two new ambulances last year, and also our annual re-chassis that we always do. That was all budgeted in. Dodge chassis are very difficult to find right now. We have to buy them with an ambulance package. They basically told us for the last 2 years we probably wouldn't be able to get them. I found out before last they were giving them on new chassis and not on a re-chassis, and I lost my cool with the owner of the company, and 3 hours later we had a Dodge. This year we put in a request early, and we did get three. One's in Texas now, the other two are in transit, but it is going to be a little while before they can get to us. So those are positive things. It's moving along. We will be having to take out the loan fairly soon to pay for the chassis, which we always have to pay in advance for them. So when we do that, we're going to get the loan for both the units and all the equipment that needs to go in. So we'll work through that. It's all budget stuff. I also give you a copy of a paper there with all of our lovely pictures on it. I didn't give you a copy of the front, but that came from the Florida Fire Service magazine. This is an annual monthly magazine. It comes out from the Florida Fire Chiefs. It covers what's going on in the state of Florida. It highlights different departments and different things that are going on, and usually, like everything else, it's everything from Orlando South. You can see the article there. The pictures that was in that article are from different trainings that we've had. The one picture that looks like I'm really upset is actually during the storm when I was trying to get water from two blocks away, trying to get the attention of the driver after we had fell and rolled in the mud for a while. So that article was highlighted. Our department, I think Chief Ferguson, Rita Miss Lindemann, sent that in to the Florida Fire Chiefs. It is not the first article, but it's a very good article for the department, and I thought I would give you all that. I don't have many copies of the magazine, and I'm keeping this one, so you'll have to fight me for it.
See you outside.
Okay. You can do it here or there. It doesn't matter to me. I'm keeping it.
Don't tell him that.
I'm game. However you want to do it, boss. Don't plan on winning. That's all I'm going to do. Count the chickens before they hatch. You still have one good knee.
A little bit wider.
Other than that, I don't think I have anything else. Things are moving along. We should have our new tanker next week. I think that it will be in early in the week. We will have training on Thursday. We have a staff meeting. We have $66,000 of ventilators going on our ambulance that we got through a grant that we'll have training on next week. And we also have something else that we're having training on.
$65,000 worth of CPR devices.
CPR devices that the state has given us. And that's moving along very good. All the ties to that is that we do training to get our people certified on it. They give us the equipment. Do you have something, Chief?
Yes. The only thing I do, I'm going to ask everyone of y'all, if you would, when you talk to the state representatives, we have a 12.5% match of any funds under the storm. So our communication tower that's damaged, I'm using round numbers, $500,000 to replace that. We have to come up, the county has to come up with 12.5% of that. Our Shirt Park. The engineers did that at $1 million to repair. Okay? We've had to come up with 12.5% of that. So what I'm going to ask is there is programs out that the state can and will waive that 12.5% and pay 100% of the storm. So when you talk to your representatives, please put that bug in their ear. We are going, we have a fire day at the Capitol. We're going to meet with them on that. And we have an end day at the Capitol. So that not only does it help the city, but if we can get it for the surrounding counties, I think we're all going to sing on it, thank you music during end day, that we're all pushing to get that waiver signed. Because I don't know about y'all, but I don't have 12.5% of $2 million for Shirt Highway. I don't know where we'll come up with that money. And when they cut that check, the feds do their 75%. The state does 12.5, and it's up to the county to fund the rest. So, y'all keep that in mind so we can get that pushed through. There is pots of money at the state for that.
Thank you for that.
Yeah. Appreciate that.
That's something we've been working on. Last week, the three of us were gone. Chief Bass was here to the Florida Fire Chiefs meeting that we annually go to, as well as the state EMS meeting. I think we secured a little funding for the county there, but I've chickens yet. I was told we're going to pass. We'll see what happens. But we do have next week, we have the memorial service at the Capitol. We will be there, probably all of us, I would imagine, for the day. Hopefully we can bump into them. Chief Garner and I will be up there the second week in February, I believe, for the EM day. And we do at this time have meetings scheduled with Mr. Shove, Mr. Simon, Ms. Jennifer Bradley. I'm hoping Ms. Pasadimo, and they said if Chuck can be there, he will as well. So we have those meetings already set to actually go in and sit down, and that's the primary thing that we're going to talk about is that match, because the reimbursement for this damage requires a match, and then later in the year, once everything is gone, there will be some mitigation money that comes available, a considerable amount of mitigation money. But it also requires a 25% match. They have said, the Director of Emergency Management has said that they're going to fix that, so they waive it. But that has not happened yet. That's something we're going to speak with them about, is to take 25% of that $400 million or whatever it is and go ahead and pull it and give us the $300 million, us being all the affected counties. And then we don't have to pay that match. And then we can apply for things such as a new fire station that we need to fix, or the staging area that we need to fix, or a new shelter. We can apply for that $20 million and not have to pay the match. But if they do not change that, ladies and gentlemen, if they do not waive that, things such as our radio tower that is still damaged and not climbable, we can't come up with that 12.5% match. We can't fix it. The generator that blowed up in the jail, if we don't come up with 12.5% when the FEMA gives us the money, we can't fix it. Because it costs the whole amount. My generator at my fire station, 12.5%. We can build a maintenance facility under mitigation, but it's 25% match. I can replace Horseshoe Station. I can replace our Station 3, 25% match. If they don't waive that, we will not be able to write any of those mitigation projects. And at the end of the day, all of those funds will go to South Florida, the large dollar counties that have a savings account sitting to the side. They will get our mitigation money, and they will spend it on their sewer projects. So you need to talk to your representatives and tell them that mitigation money and any other storm monies, they need to figure a way to find a match for us rural counties. Because if they do not, Dixie County, Taylor County, Lafayette County, Suwanee County, who else, Chief?
Madison,
Jefferson. None of them are going to get anything out of this storm, and most of them will not even get what was damaged and paid for by FEMA fixed because they cannot afford 12.5%. Right now, I can put my hands on $5,000 to match it. That's all I have in my department to match any percent. It's $5,000. You figure 12.5 and 5,000, 25% of that, that's 5, 10, 15, 20, it's easy to figure. If they give us $20,000, I can fix that. But the radio tower is 650. The jail's generator is 150. So talk to them. Y'all have days that you're scheduled to go.
Yeah.
You all have individual contacts with them. I promise you, we've been burning their ears up. Every meeting we go to, the state EM director walks by, I pull him to the side, and he assures me we're going to fix it. There is one pot of money that's there that they did fix, and they did waive. It's about $50 million. Fortunately, the only thing that money covers is the exact same thing that FEMA covers. So we can't write it for it because we've applied for it through FEMA. So it's now we do have one project. There are several projects we've submitted there. But we have one that FEMA will not pay for due to rules and regulations that we are able to submit. We've done that today. Chief Garner submitted, I think, three today. So for a total of
how many million? Ours is right just under our stuff is $8.5 million, $9 million.
Those went in today. We'll wait to hear it closes tomorrow, so it'll be a bit. But that's how serious this is. If we do not have those conversations, and you do not have those conversations with those senators, those representatives, the governor, whoever else you can find, the president, if he's president by then, which I don't think he will be. That's besides the point. We've got to have those conversations, gentlemen. It's got to happen soon because that's going to be detrimental to this county. If we can't repay the Sherwood Highway because we can't come up with 12.5% of $2.2 million,
exactly.
We have a rock road going to Sherwood Highway. If we can't replace those pavilions at Horseshoe and Sherwood because we don't have 12.5% of whatever millions of dollars those are, this summer, no one is going to camp at Sherwood and Horseshoe, and your revenue is going to go away. So that is a serious situation, John. I think...
Is that all I have, Chief?
Yes. I rely on them to tell me anymore. if y'all have any questions of me, I'll be happy to answer.
We had a joint city-county meeting yesterday. I think David come and Jody was in Greenville. Jamie was in Egypt. down. But anyway... on another note with the city, they appointed Mr. Will Garner as their chief.
Yes, sir.
And I just want to give a shout out and congratulate him. That's a young man in a very, very high pressure situation. And I know you're gonna always have an open door policy with him, you know, he's out of a grasshopper. But just any support we can give that young man in that position. I know we're already doing it, but I just want to publicly thank him. And support him any way humanly possible.
Yes, sir. He and I discuss things regularly. It so happens that I am the assistant chief of the city fire department, have been since 1998. Chief Lyles was the chief for 50 years. He did decide to resign, or retire, I should say, not resign. He retired at 68 years old. Due to the city attorney's feelings of conflict of interest, I was not allowed to even be eligible for the chief's position, which I'm okay with. I'm going to be gone in a year or two. I did make Mr. Garner, who is Chief Garner's son, a promise that I would stay and help him, and if things maintain themselves in a civil manner, I will do that. I will always. I don't know if I'll stay on the department. But you will not have to worry about that. My intent and my goal for this department is to make the fire service in Dixie County one of the best in the state of Florida. And I think when you read that article, you will see where this is going.
It better.
Doesn't matter if it's city or county. Chief Lyles and I have always worked together hand in hand to make sure our policies were the same, our equipment was the same. The only time that changes is when people step in and interfere without asking us, and we tend to fix that as well. Yeah. So you won't have to worry about that at your any other job.
It's good to see a young man with that much ambition step up at that age.
He's not discouraged at a young age.
Right.
The city also has in an appropriations request. I'm assuming they got it submitted. I gave Mr. Driggers all the information. Mr. Bailey and them also helped with that. They have a request in for a new fire station, which they desperately need. They also were awarded the same year we got the tankers a new engine. Chief Garner, little Chief Garner, and I went to Bradenton a few weeks ago. I had worked with getting all the order done for the city and with Chief Lyles, and when they made that change, he and I went down and reviewed the truck. It's actually being finished as well, and they'll have it within about 30 days. I've been in contact with Mr. Driggers quite a bit on some of those appropriations. I've tried to let him do it since it's a city. I don't want to get that conflict, but I've helped him and answered any questions he has, and I'll continue to do that. That is not an issue. Anything else, gentlemen?
Appreciate you. I do got one question on the First District Fire Station.
Yes, sir.
I've noticed the west door on the backside has been open continuously.
Yes, I will give you a quick update on the First District Fire Station. That is a station that we actually put in. We had some mitigation money for Hurricane Ian to the tune of $7 million.
Is he talking about the fire station or the...
You talking about the EMS station?
The EMS station.
Yes. Okay.
I just want to make sure.
So, I'm glad you got me there.
The station.
Yeah, well, there's two within half
there's the two, yeah.
One's fire, one's... But
correct,
all
correct.
All our crews work out of the one that you're talking about.
Correct.
Chief Garner and I applied under that Hurricane Ian mitigation money to replace that station, not the bays, but the station, because we need to do some serious upgrades on it. We used what they call a global match, which is the same thing we built the Emergency Operations Center with. Basically, you take another project that has a different pot of money, and you apply for the one you want to fix, and you use that one as the match that we've been talking about, and you don't have to pay any money. I don't understand it. I promise you I had 3 months' worth of questions, which is partly why I'm irritated about that situation we'll get to in just a moment. But the state has assured us it's good. They've done our EOC that way. Chief Garner's assured me. I still, this goes over my head, but they've said it's good. We turned all the paperwork in. We had meetings. We scheduled private personal meetings. We had phone meetings. We had phone calls with the county manager and all the state reps. We met with the ladies that run that at two different meetings. We talked to them personally about what we wanted to do. We asked what we needed to do for Global Match. We submitted everything they told us, as they told us, in the time frame that they told us, and they denied it and said that because we did not request the fire station at the EOC that we're building through appropriations, that was our Global Match. Since we didn't apply for it under an HMGP project, we were denied the project. And they failed to tell us that, even though we turned it in 2 weeks early, until after the deadline to reapply. And none of the state workers said you have to file that. We told them what money we were using. No one told us that at all. I compiled a letter and sent it to Chief Garner, and he sent it to them saying, if you'd like to challenge this, please review. That was 3 weeks ago. We've not heard a word. I pulled the state EM director to the side, and I told him how frustrated I was, and he said, don't worry about it. We got it. I guess he still got it. We just reapplied today under a different pot of money to rebuild that station, and if they don't approve it, when the next round of money comes out, we're going to apply again. And I'm going to be just as steady with it as I can. But we have been waiting to see what happened with that before we start sinking a bunch of money in that. But one of those doors is broke. So as soon as we decide whether we are or are not going to get approved, we'll either fix it or we'll do what we have to do there. But we didn't really want to jump on it, even though that's not part of what we were going to replace until we got some answers to where we go, because there is some possibilities, too, to replace the base. So, but I will look into it, because right now that project has been denied. But we are still moving that way, Chief.
Both of the projects, the one that was denied and the one we applied for today, is just for the living quarters.
Yes. So there's some legalities to that.
Totally different. And I can't change the footprint of the building that's there. I can build it stronger in everything else, but I cannot change. If it's 2,500 square feet, I can't change it. If it's in an L shape, I have to rebuild it back in an L shape building.
Sure.
So that's why when we did that, it's just the living quarters. The bays are going to stay exactly where they're at, and I can't move the building.
Those
I had noticed the door, and I've had a couple of the citizens ask me about the door. And
I knew one.
I'm just going to
ask. I was just kind of waiting in my mind to get it all.
I was wondering why it's always open. I never really thought about it because there's always a truck parked there or something. I mean, it's,
I hate to roll up door because they never work. I mean, we use them every day. I mean, they go up 20 times a day. So, you know, it's a lot. I tried to do different doors in these fire stations, but they were $700,000 for doors. So we decided we didn't want to do that. We'll fix broke doors. Anything else, gentlemen?
Appreciate you.
Thank you.
Thank you, there.
Mr. Scott?
I only got one thing, it's just information. So, with the broadband committee's meeting yesterday, Central Florida Electric, you all know that all the work, you've noticed the fiber going on the poles in a rapid rate around here. Most of the first district is done. They're just waiting on the Army Corps of Engineers to give them permission to run the line across the river at 340. Once they do that, they're going to light that Dempsey site substation and start servicing the north part of the county.
You need me to help them pull the wire?
Just tell the Army Corps engineers to let them go, and they'll do it. So that's what they said. It's more than it's weeks, not months, before that happens. So they're also running a line down 349 with Unity as actually burying fiber as a redundant circuit. So the Old Town area should be lit pretty close, shortly behind the first district area. So stand by, we're about to have some good internet.
Good deal.
And it is good.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Ms. Gail. Ms. Angie?
Real quick information. Let me give you an update on HSA. That has all been deposited. It should have been in accounts on Friday, Tuesday. Those that didn't partake in the county's insurance will be getting an Optum card if they don't already have it, and that money will be on that. So if you get questions about an Optum card, they don't need to throw it away. If you have questions about somebody not getting something, tell them to come see me because it's just that I don't know about them.
I'm not going to do one, right? No. Didn't I pay you?
You told me no.
Give up that big time.
Yes, you did.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Powell.
Sir, gentlemen, if you'll turn to your manager's report, we have a few action items below. So, number one, we just request board approval of the proclamation for the Hazardous Material Awareness Week from February the 19th to the 25th, 2024. It's just a proclamation that is declaring...
Motion to approve. We got a motion from Mr. Stevenson.
Second,
Mr. Hatch. All in favor?
Aye. Number two, we request board approval to execute the North Florida Rural Area of Opportunity Memorandum of Agreement for another 5-year term to expire June the 11th of 2028.
Motion. We got a motion, Mr. Stevenson. Second, Mr. Osteen. All in favor?
Aye.
Number three, we request board approval for the ship emergency repair reimbursement for Betty Gainey in the amount of $15,000.
Motion. Got a motion, Mr. Osteen.
Second.
Second, Mr. Hatch. All in favor?
Aye.
Number four, request board approval for the ship emergency repair reimbursement for Lori Fowler in the amount of $14,000.
Motion.
Second.
Motion, Mr. Osteen. Second, Mr. Stevenson. All in favor?
Aye.
Number five, we request board approval of the Anti-Drug Coalition Space Sharing at the Department of Health contract with automatic yearly renewal.
Motion.
Got a motion, Mr. Osteen.
Second.
Second, Mr. Stevenson. All in favor?
Aye.
And then number six, we request board approval for the purchase of a CAT 309 excavator and work tools in the amount of $141,311 from Ring Power Corporation. This is based off of the Stormwater Task Force recommendation, and ARPA monies will be used for this purchase. This is the equipment that we sent out for bid to be able to purchase to maintain the...
We got this budgeted. This is
Stormwater Task
Force. Yes, Stormwater Task Force.
Motion.
Motion.
We got a motion, Mr. Stevenson. Second, Mr. Osteen. Any discussion?
Yeah, let's discuss that for a second. What this thing is, it helps us with ditch clean out. It's got a mulching head on it for trimming. It's going to take a lot of place of our arm mower. Just a lot better piece of equipment, a lot more. Got a dump truck that we're specking out now and a trailer that we're specking out now that we're going to advertise, and all this is ARPA fund.
Okay.
And everything's vetted through LISA?
Through DSI.
Yeah, DSI.
Who oversees our money.
Yep. Sure and making sure it's done correctly,
yep.
Now.
Make sure we meet all requirements so we don't have to pay any other
tax. Right. This is actually designed to mow limbs and stuff beside the road. Yeah. The thing we've been running beside that tractor is actually made to mow over the end of box culverts, not to turn up sideways and mow tree limbs down beside the road.
Right.
That's the reason it stays tore up all the time.
So that's all the discussion I got.
It'll be a very
versatile
piece of equipment to benefit our
time.
Yes, it will.
All right, we got a motion and a second. We just had a discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Just a few informational items. Just want to let the board know that we are going to re-advertise the Swan Gardens property. We advertised it a couple of months ago because an individual was interested in it. We didn't receive any bids, but there's been someone else that's expressed interest in that property. The board has previously gave approval to re-advertise that. I just want to let you know that it will be re-advertised soon.
Okay.
Number two, myself and Ms. Martha have also applied for a Water Resource Development Act for the dredging of McGriff Pass in Swanee. We just did this to make sure that we covered all of our bases. There was an opportunity emailed to us for an application to submit to the Army Corps of Engineers for projects. So we did this also. Number three, just want to remind the board that the legislative networking reception for January the 24th, next Wednesday from 6 to 8, will be held in Tallahassee at the Doubletree Hilton. All of the board members have been registered for that, as well as myself and Ms. Martha. So anybody that's wanting to make that trip up there to that legislative networking reception, get with me sometime between now and Tuesday so we can organize transportation up there. Also, just a reminder for the Capitol Courtyard event, the Rural County Days is going to be on the 25th of next week from 10 to 2. We will have representatives here from our economic development team setting up a tent there in the courtyard for that event. We also have some appointments scheduled that day with our representative, Mr. Jason Shope, at 1 o'clock for any board members that can attend that so we can have that meeting. We've also reached out to Senator Simon's office to try to schedule something for that day as well. Number five, the NFEDP will sponsor an event for members on Friday, March the 1st, 2024, beginning at 8:30 out at Camp Anderson. And I'll remind the board again, but I just want to go ahead and give you a heads up that will be taking place. We ask that everybody that can attend will be able to do so. We have registered everyone for that. It's a no call for registration. So we just ask if you're able to attend. So that's all I have, gentlemen. Unless you have any questions.
Do what now? So we got the legislation on the 24th and the courtyard on the 25th?
Correct. The 24th is the legislative networking reception where you go up and you do the forum with a lot of different agencies and vendors and people there that thank myself, Mr.
PC,
and Mr. Hatch, Mr. Story went up there a couple of years ago. It's a good opportunity to be able to network with some other people throughout the state. And then the very next day is when they hold the Rural County Days event there in the courtyard at the Capitol.
Fact had theirs Tuesday night. I went up there to that Tuesday.
We went, me and you went to the one.
Yeah.
That's all.
But we didn't have an appointment with Representative
Shope. Yeah, I don't know if I'm going to make that reception. Honestly, I don't. But I'm definitely going the next day for Rural County Days, and I'd ask Paul to get us a few appointments.
We have the one scheduled already.
Yeah, but I talked to Paul Tuesday night. I seen him there.
I was just thinking about it. I may just go up there and rent a room and stay over or whatever. Just drive it back in 2 weeks.
Need one.
Huh?
You'll need one.
Yeah.
I think
you needed one last time.
Yeah.
I
got one Tuesday night, too.
Hazardous materials awareness.
Okay. Is that going to be in conjunction with the weekend that they collect stuff?
No, ma'am.
Okay. That's been scheduled yet.
It is not. I will have to get with our family coordinator.
Okay.
To find out when that is. I know it happens anyway.
Yeah.
but it's not here in the same.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Is that it, Mr. Paul? Okay. Thank you, Mr. Paul.
Thank you.
All right. Ms. Watson?
I do have a few things, gentlemen. Bear with me just a minute.
Ms. Watson, I'm sorry to interrupt you. I just want to let the board know that Willow Hole, Center Lane Shopping, well, it's completed.
Good deal.
Good deal.
Okay, that's all right. Gentlemen, the last meeting, I'll let y'all know that the mediation was ongoing on regards to one of the lawsuits that was against the board on the accident that happened right there going into Swanee Gardens. They did not reach a settlement at that time, and I told y'all then that if they did not, they would move into court. Well, as sometimes happens, they got out of mediation, and the other side reached back out to the attorney that's representing us through Florida League of Cities, made an offer that negotiated outside of, you know, the mediation, did reach a settlement. The county is not obligated. We're paying for it through our insurance. But the settlement amount is $100,000. They would like the board to vote on accepting that settlement. Again, this in no way obligates the county to pay for this. It is well within the policy limit. But according to the attorney, they prefer the consent of the board to move forward. If we do as such, then they will cut a check tomorrow to this individual, which will then dismiss this lawsuit.
It's over.
It's over.
So I make a motion, let's do so.
We got a motion, Mr. Stevenson.
Perfect.
Second, Mr. Osteen, in discussion. All in favor?
Short discussion.
Huh?
Well, I knew I had something to say, didn't you?
I knew you had something.
Nobody said.
No, I'm good.
We good.
And by the way, gentlemen, I think I shared with y'all before, they did do basically an overview of what they thought could happen if we went to court, and this was the best result
that's
for
right.
us. So... I'm very much in agreement with that decision. Yeah, they're always fun. I'm glad somebody else is good on those. There's, the Swanee River Economic Council has sent me some documents to overlook. I'll be getting back with them in regards to our short-term rental, in other words, our Airbnbs and all that kind of stuff. So we're moving forward on that situation as well. We do, gentlemen, we, as y'all are aware, and we've talked about it many times with the code enforcement, we're actively trying to improve our system. We're still having some issues with that. I did have an attorney reach out to me on a code case that we've got pending. They approached about if this home property owner was to make the corrections as needed, and they were to pay for the cost and possibly a smaller percentage of the fines. And again, I can get with y'all individually and let you kind of know, because at this point we haven't got exact numbers. But I wanted to see the board's kind of feel on this. I know at one point we knew we had a sale pending on the property, and we held firm. This is not a sale. This is basically a property that's been hanging out for, what, Steve, can you say 3 to 5 years?
About 3 years.
So it's been hanging out for a while. They've made no effort. Well, I shouldn't say no effort. I think they try for it. It gets a little better, but it never gets totally taken care of. We have run into a few snags. Some of it we're pretty positive we'll be correcting moving forward with the changes that we're in the process of making. But right now, based on the last trials we went to, I don't know that we might not want to consider this. So I want you gentlemen to kind of contemplate that on these older cases of maybe how we can maybe mitigate and get the result we want, which is to clean the property.
On that line, Shane, I wonder how you and Steve and Leon's coming on the he went to some other counties on how they was handling that and how it was more streamlined, and we were talking about redoing that stuff. So.
We have been, and we've talked about several different ways that different counties are doing it. I think Leon brought forward, I think you discussed it with him, where some of the counties are actually going in there, hiring a contractor to go in and clean it up, and then putting that lien against the property.
That lien will stick.
The liens we've got will stick. The problem we're running into, and I won't call any case names, but we had one that there was some finagling that happened by the property owners that the judge had an issue with. So that one we got kicked back because the judge didn't feel that the fines attached to the property owner that it was transferred to.
I guess what I'm getting at, I understand where you're going with that, but if we go the other route, we will get the property cleaned up way faster because it allows the county to go clean the property, and then the county files the lien against them, so we eliminated the problem for the public, and we move this thing where we're not constantly getting beat up here about not doing anything on these
several properties. And we've talked about that. The issue that we're seeing, and I haven't been satisfied. I don't know if Leon has felt totally satisfied. The ability to collect is going to be about the same. If I put a lien against your property, even as the county, how am I going to collect it from you if you won't pay it because I can't take your property or anything? The other issue is what is to prevent you from throwing your trash right back out there next week?
Well, we'll do it again. Here's, I guess, where I'm coming from heart. I've got one in my... in the first district, not too far from Rock Pit. I would take my truck and clean it up tomorrow, but you advise me if I took something that I could get sued. Now, if we can do something where the county can do that, and they get notified and there's nothing they can do, I don't care if we ever get paid if we can get it cleaned up. And then it's going to set a precedence to the rest of these people that's sitting on this stuff. If they don't get it out of there within so many days, we're going to come take it. And then he's not going to say, well, I'm going to keep it this one, we'll carry it to the scrapyard, this, that, and the other. They ain't going to be like it is.
I think you're headed on the right path on this right here. And the reason being is we can clean it up faster and sooner before it's falls out of control. Just like this case right here is a 3-year case, and some of our other cases are exactly the same way. And because we tried to go a more lenient route on the, you got to understand, code enforcement, there had not been a code enforcement officer for years.
Never been one.
And when it came into play, we knew going into this that there was going to be some
hurdles.
And, we've learned some valuable lessons. That's one of the reasons why we tabled that tonight, was because we don't have the correct verbiage to where we won't be, there'll be no way to challenge us.
Well, I guess what I'm saying, the quicker y'all can get together to get it where we can go on, the county can go clean these properties up and file a lien, I will be happy.
And we are working very hard at that. I mean, I know that sounds like we keep kicking the can, but the legal system is very, and all of y'all know this, it's very fickle. It's a nice way of putting it. It's kind of case law based, so depending on how I read that case, is how I interpret it, but you may read it different. And if you read it different and you're the judge, then guess who's right? So we have that going on. And I'm not slighting our judge. I'm not doing that at all. Like I say, I support her decision. I might not like it, but I'll support her decision because she is our judge. The problem runs into, though, is because of the flexibility of it, it makes it very difficult to draft these documents where they're bulletproof, which means it saves us from making these, worthless efforts, because they're not worthless, but it seems like it's inadequate.
But just like a prime example, in our, the way it's written now, is that if they appeal the magistrate's decision, then it would come back to the Board of Adjustments, whereas we're going to write it to where
there is no appeal going back to the Board of Adjustment. It goes straight to the judge. And that is one of the cases with the lien case primarily that we got, that it was a procedural violation. It holds up better in court when it goes before that, going that route. And it takes any liability off any of you sitting there. But you won't have a penal lawsuit. And if you had a legal lawyer review it, issue it, then you, it moves to the judge. And you have your orders written down. It really makes us know. You get it right to the rule book, fix the mistakes along the way. And I'm sure you bring the cases back before you. Ms. Shana, everybody else involved, we can go clean them up and there won't be anything there to do but clean it up. We had UConn, Douglas, and Douglas. They reviewed it pretty extensively, and just waiting on our plan to verify that. And be clean. I promise you. I wish we had it done sooner. Put it in perspective. Mr. Mark, he was there. The Reed County redone theirs. Put in 7 years. We've done ours in 2. And I think it's done a lot of work.
I commend you.
Yep. My thing is, on this one case you're talking about, 3 years and they've not made any headway, basically. And you know, I can forgive that 3 years if there was a problem like a coma, maybe something like that. But I'm not waiting, period. Now, there's other boats up here, but I'm hard-headed on this one.
And I expected in some way, you know, because we have had this discussion at length, and again, you know, at the end of the day, if we don't get it this way, we'll get it another way, because it is still a violation, it's still an eyesore. My thinking was, is maybe this would be I'm bringing you this to think on, but I would not bring you a proposal of say, hey, let's do this, unless they have followed through on everything that they said, which would be go clean this property up, have it in pristine condition, et cetera. And then they say, we will pay this or do whatever, then I will bring that before y'all. But this was something that was brought up. We do have quite a few older cases that we may have some issues with just because of some of the way these enforcement codes were written, and we know this from the Naveen case and different ones. Again,
I promise you, the worst case scenario in the cases that there might be some issues with, we close that case, we start that one, and then within 30 days, we take
That's what I was trying to get
that's
at.
That's what we're saying.
The new way of doing it, the way y'all was talking about it, be more streamlined.
Yeah.
So get that implemented, we shut those down and then go at it the other way and get the results.
I'll
get
in the bulldozer and push it up there.
I honestly, really and truly, the one that really irritates me the most, which all of them does, but the one right there in Old Town by that method,
yes.
That's ridiculous.
Now that one is EPA.
But it's still ridiculous. We have fought that for 3 or 4 years now.
Yeah, they did serve him. Should
have actually given. Yeah, I met DEP up there Thursday. They had admin and law enforcement side up there. They took pictures. They actually served him the papers, and they're also mailing the mom and the aunt who own the property. They're giving him 4 months to get the property the way it's supposed to. Then their fines start kicking in. Of course, it'll go toward the mom and the aunt, and he's just doing what he's doing over there. DEP's working on bringing the trailers in to load all the tires on.
Well, who's steady taking tires in there?
If we'd had the other procedure when this first started, none of that would have ever happened, because I caught it when it was just a small little camper and a little bit of junk.
Yeah, well, I'm going to say this. This was Daniel's thing, and I know Daniel's on top of it with you, and you and him, I'm sure, have talked about it.
Oh, yeah.
I commend you. It was just something that he inherited. That's how long we've been dealing with it.
And it kept getting bigger and bigger. He's never made an effort to clean it. And I've had that.
He's cleaned the bushes that where you see it from the highway a lot.
Yeah.
Well, that's the part that
is.
My question is on the EPA, the DEP, they're just stating on the tires, or are they stating on all of them?
No, they're making them clean the whole thing up.
Okay.
But I mean, their big thing is the tires.
Making sure if they just cleaned up the tires that they're going to back off. They still.
No, I mean, he has to clean up the whole property.
Okay.
But their big concern is that's the environmental part, is the tires.
Right.
You know, not him burning the tires, which he's been doing.
We got a question right back here in the back.
Yes. Now, it appears to me that right behind that there on the paved road, there's a property coming up tax deed sale real soon. And I've been kind of keeping an eye on it, so it's all been talking about that property. And I wanted to go by and see where it was. Just to me, they're just piling that stuff over there, a lot of it on the tax deed property.
Don't buy it.
And I can speak to that a little bit, okay? And what I can say in that regard, this is from my private practice. I handled a similar case with DEP, and the fines are horrendous, okay? Just know that up front. I don't know if Steve's seen the numbers, but
I know it starts at $5,000. That's where that's their starting point.
I mean, and it's crazy the amounts of fines they attach. But what they did for the case that I dealt with them on is there was some encroachment issues too on those tires landing on some adjacent property, but that property owner that had kind of maybe let them fall over the line was told he had to clean them up also.
Well, they were down here like this in the Palmettos, and now they're there above the
Palmettos. They told him he has, even though he spilled over into the east, he's got to clean it all up.
Yeah.
They know he put that over there on the other property.
Exactly. So, and that's what they did on the other case.
Yep, go ahead.
Okay, it's just something that I was thinking of. We came from Pinellas, and when they would, and I'm just asking, what he's saying, get in there and clean, you know, serve your papers. But I know they did, my family was in fire enforcement, all my family. And they used to post big signs, you have so much time, if it isn't done, it's condemned. And it was donated to the county, and they would use the buildings for fire training, and the fire department would get it, and somehow it was a big write-off or something to do that and use it for training. Does that sound, or do they just burn down here on their own?
No matter how we do this, it's going to still have to go before the judge.
It was a big deal in Pinellas. They used to use them all over and burn them.
It has to go to some kind of court.
Yeah, we still have to take them before a magistrate before the county can go clean it up. We can't just put a sign.
Let me know when you're going to light them tires. I'll call DEP.
So many days, and then they post it, and then when it's condemned, then you see all the big fire trucks out there, and they'd be having training sessions.
Now, you used to be able you could burn them out.
House.
Yeah. Used to you could burn them out.
You go to Old Town, just like
the camping. The camping park by you there, the chalk Mount Yards Road. Like,
can't feel right there. I'm sure it is.
I have questions.
It was a good idea, but I mean.
So we do all this. We clean the property up. What happens when they just start junking it up again?
They get
re-wrote
up, we do it all over again.
Well, in my opinion, on what we're spending on filing these fees and doing all this stuff and going to the magistrate, it'll be cheaper for us to go clean it up. And I assure you, after you clean one of them up, because half of them is saying they don't want to get rid of that washing machine because they're going to take it to the scrapyard or this, that, and the other, when we start hauling them off of there, you won't have to worry about it, because when you issue that notice, they'll get a trailer, and what they can sell will be gone.
But now we will still, just so everyone, we will still have to go to the to the magistrate, to the judge, to get the order to put the lien against the property and the property owner. Otherwise, we're just, it'd be after
but
the fact.
But you have a leg to stand on because a service has been rendered. It's just like me going to put it in a septic tank. They don't want to pay for it because I put a lien.
The magistrate in the order, he's going to have to write in there, like, this is the fines per day, and the county has the right to abate this nuisance by coming in, and if it's something that needs to be cleaned up. But there's still going to be other things that the fines are going to have to take care of. I mean, if it's a building or something that has problems, we're not going to go down there, you know, and fix their building for them. So, yeah. But the trash, the junk, the stuff we can clean up, that's where that'll come.
So 4 months of tires should be gone on 19?
Oh, well, I'm not expecting that to happen at all. But that's what DEP gave him, and then they're going to...
What happens is DEP will start running fines on him the same way we do.
And then they'll take
and
the
And then they will take it. Yeah, they'll still clean it up, and we as citizens will pay for it.
And they will put the bill for that, and we, the county, won't.
Yeah.
I mean.
But no, I do not expect them to, because I even was joking with them. I said, as soon as we walk away, because they were out there acting like they were moving things to clean up. As soon as we walk away, they're going to stop all that, go back over there, doing whatever they do.
They had a fire burning with the tires that morning. It was real cool.
What does he do with them?
Where's he getting them from?
I'm guessing when Tire Jack shut down that he made a deal and took all of my trailer's worth and just unloaded somewhere on that.
But I can tell you what the one I know about, a trailer load of semi tires, I would gladly, if I was a person who had one of those, I would gladly buy me a trailer and say, hey, old buddy, you want a good deal on a trailer? And you get everything in it.
The problem is,
because it's a lot cheaper.
After I done rode it up for just the camper and the junk that was there to start with, then he brought in the first semi load of them trailers. So that's when I got DEP involved. He told him to count all the tires, put them back on the trailer. Well, of course, he didn't do that. To pull the trailer away, they brought a second one. And then he unloaded all those all over the property. So, yeah, he has no intention of complying.
Yeah.
Nope.
He's getting those trailers with those tires in it, and then he's flipping the trailers because he's getting, like I say, most likely the owner of those
trailers. All those shops will give you those trailers to take them, but you
exactly
got to deal with the tires that's inside.
That's what I'm saying. And so he then unloads the tires and flips the trailers for whatever he can get.
So that's where we're at on that.
Okay.
Anything else?
Oh, that's it.
Yes,
go ahead. Hey. But hang on just a minute. Okay. I keep forgetting.
You're the post.
And Miss.
What?
No.
Your name,
sometimes, sometimes we can't remember all y'all's names. Would y'all please state your name?
Well, I'm brand new.
Just state your name for the.
What name? Brand new. RV. We got two RVs across from us, and they had burnt the house down, which it looked pretty good then, but then I moved in RVs, and I know that it's North of Leon now, and they're trashing it up. So, since we're on the trash thing here...
He's the man you need to talk to right there.
Have to make official complaint.
Yeah, if you come off to file a complaint, I can go out and write it up, whatever it is.
Just be aware that stack of papers is that high already, so you're going to the bottom of the pile.
Most of the time, if they're breaking the rules with campers and stuff, and I send them the letter,
I'm sure
they don't listen.
So it's all good. I've got a backload of about 175. Just probably going to have to go to a magistrate whenever we get this straightened out.
Do they have power?
Thank you for moving the forward as you've
passed. That's if they got power.
Do they have power at the campers?
Yes.
The generator, they have actual power.
I think they
just
get a power pole, but I don't get the generator. But
they might up there look at it if they're stealing it or
after the house burned down.
Yeah, if there was a fire, they could have pulled the meter pan. So if they're stealing it, we can get that shut off, please.
Thank you, Mr. Steve.
But I keep that road clean. I keep the grass cut. It's quite verifying it.
Yeah.
Up and down the road. I even pick up trash all the way down to part of the lane. We're trying to clean up.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Thank you. Ms. Watson?
I have nothing else, sir. Thank you.
Got nothing else? All right. We got anything from the clerk's office?
We do. If you'll notice, you have a paper here from the Supervisor of Election. It is for a budget adjustment. It's for the annual payment for the voting machine. It would be a budget request of $37,433.
Do we have that in the budget?
Yes, we have it every year for this. It's an 8-year contract, and this is the 7th year.
I'll make a motion then.
Second.
Well, basically, it's $37,000, and the difference...
Right. We have $10,503 in the budget, but this would be a request for an adjustment of $37,433 for a total of $47,936.
Okay.
But you can see all the attached, the invoice and everything that's attached, the agreement.
Okay. So...
But this is annual. We've done it for the last 6 years, and this is the 7th, and we'll have one more year to go next year.
Mr. Stevenson made a motion to accept it, correct?
Yes, we got it in the budget. That's it. That's it. Okay.
And Ms. Osteen seconded. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you, sir. That's it.
That's it.
Have anything for me?
No, ma'am. Thank you.
Good thing, because I don't know. I'd have to ask a question.
Commissioners, Mr. Hatch?
The roads down there in Suwanee, I'm going to get with, providing you all okay with that, get with Mr. Lockler next week and kind of get some feedback on that. And are y'all good with that?
I'm good.
Yes, I want to meet with him also.
Because that was my suggestion, David. You got Horseshoe and Gina in your area. Just look at it and see if there's money out there. I want to try to get it for our citizens. I've had so daggum many meetings this week, but our city and county meeting, just a quick rundown on that, it went relatively well. Went to Tallahassee and was one of their meet and greets and got to talk to Corey a little bit. And Scott, I would ask that you and Darren give maybe some bullets for us, because we are going back up there next week, just some bullet
ammunition,
speaking points. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Because that match is something we really need to get ahead of and stay on top of.
Yes, we do.
What else did we have? Miss Karen, she's here, and she's we got the NF, what's it called? NFDP. There's so many abbreviations that the March 6th, first. We got another meet March 6th. What was it? City and County meeting. Yeah. So, Ms. Karen, do you want to speak on anything of our meeting with Ms. Mary this morning with Duke or?
Our economic development team met with Ms. Mary Sloat of Duke Energy, and so she's part of an economic development team of 10 people at Duke, and they're willing to help. They're looking at our county. They're hearing us and our needs throughout our county. We talked about some different issues. That y'all have already discussed, and I think Duke Energy is definitely on board with us, and other big, since Florida Electric, other big corporations are coming along, and we're going to get some support as we move forward as a county. So that's our team coming together and we're making some progress.
But please, if y'all can, make that March meeting. We haven't hosted one of these in a pretty good while, and I sat on the board, and Karen sits on the board also for the county. So please show them some support if y'all can. And I know it's I know everybody's schedule's hectic. This is my fourth meeting today, so we all got busy schedules, and then we also got to make a living.
What's that date again?
March 1st.
And that was at Camp Anderson,
yeah,
right?
What time was it, Karen? 6?
8:30 to noon.
Yeah, 8:30 to noon.
And it's 14 counties. It's the North Florida Economic Development Partnership. Mm-hmm. I've been to one in Lago, Lake City at the Community College, Florida Gateway, and in Williston, a very nice hosting site there. So this is the first time we've hosted it, but their first meeting was in Lago. Every one of their commissioners, matter of fact, they served lunch that day. They actually dipped the food on the plate, so we would really ask that our county show us strong leadership. We'll remind you March 1st, we're ways away.
I think Ryan, he's on that also for the city. Kurt, you got your voice back yet? Is there anything you want to say?
I just want to remind y'all to get the word out about our 100-year centennial that will be coming up April 20th.
So we encourage y'all to participate, come out, get the word out for us and everything.
That was April 20th.
April 20th.
And it's mainly going to be right here behind the city hall in that block area right there. There'll be vendors and a lot of history stuff for our county. So 100 years old, another 100 years, none of us will be here. Think about that. So anyway, just come out and support that if you can. Other than that, I think that's all I had.
Okay. Mr. Osteen?
I don't have anything at this time. I'll have some things coming later. Okay.
Mr. Stevenson?
I got a couple things. One, I want to thank Shana and Steve and Leon for trying to get this code enforcement stuff more streamlined. Appreciate y'all that. And Darren and them for trying to help us get more money and fix this stuff. So they'll stay after it. I got one other thing I want to make y'all aware of. You know, my father recently passed, and every afternoon if I get a chance, I try to ride my mother around the deer pen. Well, last Friday, I was driving around, and I heard her say, "Well, you done it." So I stopped the truck. I said, "What is that?" She said, "Your daddy wanted to plant some turnips." And I said, "Well, he's done a hell of a job. 2 acres of turnips." Go pass the picture around. I had to take a picture of it. Anyway, I'm going to be putting these on a trailer, and I'm going to put them at different locations around the county to give them away. TV20 is coming Tuesday to do a little segment on it, and we're going to be, this is the last planting of my father. He always gives produce and stuff and garden stuff to the county and tried to give back. So you can pass that around if they want to look at it.
It's pretty good size, kind of.
Yeah.
Hey, that size, from that size, a small one, some even bigger. But
yeah.
I just wanted y'all to make aware of that. And I'm probably, if the county don't have no objection, like in Swanee, using that where you pick up our courts, that on county property to put the trailer for them to get it. The But we're going to try to make a loop all the way around the county where everybody have opportunity to get something they want.
Good deal, good deal.
Other than that, I don't have anything else.
Besides, they won't need many.
I think one will make a pot.
I'm pretty sure.
We had a good meeting. Like Mr. Hatch says, he's been in meetings all day. Well, I've been on vacation for a week. So
shut up.
I got on a plane or headed to a plane at 3 o'clock this morning. Made it here. Thank you, Jesus.
Where did you go?
We don't care.
Egypt.
Huh? To Puerto Rico.
Puerto Rico.
That wasn't far. But glad to be back. And but now it's y'all's turn. I know we got one lady that signed up a paper, so she's going to get to speak first. Miss Mary, come on.
And I'm Mary Goodrich. I just want an update on the culverts.
And the ditches. I know we, and you've heard this before, we have not found the correct person yet to run our ditch machine. We found someone, but we'll get more complaints if we keep him on there digging the ditches than we would just leave it alone. And I know because Mr. Hatch has been on Hutch, and Hutch is trying his best to find someone. And I know we all been after trying to find. It just takes a special person. We just ain't found that person.
Hutch actually had a good man, and he was the one that got the dump truck correct. And he's actually just now got out of the hospital, too, and I don't know how long he's going to be before he gets out. But also with this new piece of equipment, that's going to help that tremendously also. My question is going to be this to you, Miss Mary. How much, we got quite a bit of rain. How much did it affect you? Please.
The road and my driveway, you got about that much of a drop right now.
Mm-hmm.
So if I come off the road, it's a drop.
So your whole place is back underwater?
Nope.
You're just talking about the runoff off the highway onto your property.
Okay, all right, I'm with you now.
Right in that driveway and right down to the back of my yard. And
so if we had a little ditch in front of your yard, it'd take care of that.
We have a big ditch in front of my yard that's clogged up, and it doesn't go through one of the culvert pipes, and the other culvert pipe got buried or pulled out or whatever,
so
but it's not there.
So it fills up, it fills up and runs down.
Okay, the issue is, when the road was built, it comes down through, she has got a real low piece of property.
Yeah.
So you'd have to actually go in there and build a berm to make a ditch to funnel that water past her.
Yep. Yeah, but when you go on down past her,
you've got a cross pipe.
By north, you do have a cross pipe going across that paved road.
We just need to get a good enough ditch
and
to go down there.
It comes off the hill, so it's got to go.
You have to build it. Like I said, her property,
so you're going to pull dirt paddled around out there. You know what it is.
No, exactly.
Both paddled around out there on the property.
And then if it rains enough, it's just going to fill up the ditch, come behind her, and then fill her up from the back side.
That's what it takes
from
last
fall. Yep. So that's the honest God's truth. And I forgot about that man. We did have a man, but he got in a little accident, and he healed up just yet. We got anybody else?
You want some in the backyard? Here you go.
Right now? How many fish you got in there?
None. 4 hours later, it's empty.
Well, good. It's draining. It's draining good then. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if the groundwater's
down. Yeah, it left that fast? Yeah,
yep.
Groundwater.
All right. Miss Karen, you've got to speak?
Oh, and then there was
okay.
One other thing.
I set up with some ground.
Yeah.
Yes?
Oh, right. I put some horse signs out there for Miss Mary because she rides horses, and somebody stole it. So, what's the name of that road? 808?
We don't wrestle it.
What's the name of that road? 808? I'm glad you know exactly what we're talking about. Yeah, 188. Yeah.
Come on.
It's a white pickup truck that keeps taking it. I don't know if he's taking it from home.
You get us a tag number. You get us tagged if you can.
Citizen on patrol, Miss Mary.
That's right. All right.
I have a thank you card on behalf of Cross City Restore Manu. The teams each signed it individually, so I'd love to give that to you to take a look. And on the very back of the card, if you want to open it up and take a look, it's a brief picture of the day. We had about 170 participants accounted for. I appreciate your unwavering support. Every year, y'all support us so much, and personally as well, as a group, and then personally. And matter of fact, I was looking this entire panel from one end to the other. Are great supporters of our event, and we in turn put it back into our county. And so everybody wins, and I appreciate it. And that's just a neat little thank you card that our team signed. And
you had a great turnout for the weather
because
I was like, okay, I was going to go. And then I'm like, I'm not dragging seven head of youngins out in this weather.
Oh, and let me give David, Mr. Osteen, a shout out. He was our county commissioner that showed up. And everybody's been getting out. Everybody's got, it's a family day. Shut up, and did you run the entire event? Ran 3.1 miles and finished, come across the finish line and did really well. So,
hey.
I lost some weight. I can run, man.
So anyway, we appreciate y'all. Thank you.
Thank you.
You got anybody else?
Hi. My family had just bought property on 791st Street.
State your name.
Oh, my name is Ryan Sheehan. I'm representing my father, James Sheehan.
Okay.
And we just bought property on 791st Street. I'm a student at University of Florida.
What's your address again?
303 Northeast 791st Street.
791st Street. Okay.
What did you say your daddy's name was, James?
James Sheehan.
What, the one we just approved, the RV special?
I got your thank you. I got out of class.
We already got it.
Okay. I just wanted to see
yeah.
If there's anything.
Nope.
No.
Good.
Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you. Anybody else?
I want to comment, young man right there,
yep.
For stepping up. It's public speaking is very, very hard, except for Jody Stevenson. But thank you for stepping up.
Yeah.
Being a young man, we appreciate it.
And you have done you and your dad's place done passed before you got here, so you didn't hear that. So,
okay.
So you have no. But I'm like Mr. Mark, you know. If I was your age, you can ask them two sitting beside you. They went to school with me. I ain't no way, James Story, gonna get up and talk in front of nobody. So, but it will get easier, I promise you. Yes, sir. We got anybody.
And I want to apologize for my sniffling and coughing, but I had to run a service call before I came here. When I opened the door, I thought the whole house was covered in a blanket, but it was cat hair.
Oh.
And I've been stuffed up and sneezing ever since, and I do apologize.
Well, we'll just put a sign out and
burn it. Anybody else have anything to say? Need a motion to adjourn.
Motion.
We got a motion and a second. Mr. Stevenson makes a motion and Mr. Osteen second. All in favor, aye.
I got to get a vacuum cleaner. I think I'm going to call my hairball.
Yeah, drying on up.